section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
An NXT star asks for his release, TNA gets a new home, and did Survivor Series deliver? All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron, and we have two special guests. We have Roger Cape and Doug Hahn. Let's start the show by discussing some recent news. So the WWE Network went down for a few minutes. Aaron, did you have any problems?
No, it was the pre-show that absolutely no one watches, Andy, so I don't think anybody noticed it. Did you?
I did notice it, but I didn't care because it just came back to a package.
Why
did you
watch the pre-show, Andy? Why do you watch?
I want to see Doug. That's the thing, because I figured they'd cut to the announcers. It was Stardust was on there, and I just wanted to see where Doug was. And of course, he had great seats there, of course. So so they were down for a little bit. I know you called me and asked me, say, hey, is your network down? So,
well, we were having some issues getting it up and running. But Andy, I gotta ask you, when we're at WrestleMania 32 next year, are you going to be watching the pre-show on your phone while we're watching it? Okay.
Yeah? Why not?
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure.
Well, I don't know what's, you know, because I want to see how much of a delay it is. If it's, you know, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, I want to know. So if someone calls me like, hey, I see you on TV, and I'm like, hey, and they cut away. That's the only reason why.
In fairness, the WrestleMania pre-show might be better than anything else we see on WWE television besides the night after WrestleMania. So it's actually going to be worth watching.
Now, Doug, what did you think of the pre-show?
You know what? I was happy that they had another five-on-five Survivor Series match. It gave at least, you know, two for the whole pay-per-view. And it kind of went with the very theme of Survivor Series of a very face-forward pay-per-view.
Now, did they show, like, all the packages that were leading up to the pre-show match?
No. You really don't get too many of the videos when you're actually at the event. I rewatched Survivor Series on the network after I got home, and there was a couple segments where it's like, oh, that would have been kind of nice to see. It would have explained a little bit more. But for the most part, unless it's something where you know they're looking at the Titantron or something like that, you don't see that at all.
All right. So another big news item is that TNA, they're joining Pop TV. Aaron, are you excited about this?
Yeah, Pop TV, former TV Guide channel, the channel you go to tell you to go elsewhere.
And you're one of the few markets that actually gets an HD too, which is interesting.
Yeah, and I'm actually, I don't want to get too deep into it. Pop TV has 20 million more people than Destination America. In my cable package, I actually was paying $10 more a month in order to watch TNA sometimes. And it was, you know, I would just do it every now and then. I actually hadn't done it as of late because they're just doing the title tournament. So it's not of big interest to me. But this will be nice because I get it with my regular cable package. And it sounds like it's going to be that way for a lot of people, which is why it's in 20 million more homes.
Now, the negative part is that, Aaron, your favorite wrestling program, Paragon Pro Wrestling, is leaving it, though. Are you disappointed?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm going to be very disappointed to no longer see Jesse or Gangrel.
Well, you can see Jesse in NXT getting his butt kicked.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the good news is we have proof that someone actually paid to see TNA TV lately.
Oh, man. So Solomon Crowe, Sami Callihan has asked for his release. So he is no longer a part of the WWE. He just did this on Monday. Doug, your thoughts on this?
I kind of like the Solomon Crowe character, but NXT really wasn't doing anything with him. I kind of wish you could see or like if we could get news of what's going on the house shows of NXT. But for the most part, he was used as a jobber in NXT. So I'm not surprised that he would ask for his release so that he could go elsewhere and do something else to improve his character, I guess.
Yeah. Roger, did you like Sami Callihan or Solomon Crowe?
I actually kind of thought the character was kind of cool. I think when he debuted, they did like a hacker thing, you know, where he was going to invade and take over. The one thing that I do recall is that when I saw him, I was like, he doesn't fit. Like, NXT kind of lately has been where, like, the best wrestlers in the company and probably the world have been showing up. Samoa Joe, you know, we saw Austin Aries potentially, Tyson Kidd, all those guys. Solomon Crowe is an okay wrestler and an okay character. He really just didn't fit in with what NXT was becoming. So I'm not surprised that he wasn't utilized, and it makes sense for him to ask for his release. He actually would kind of make sense in TNA.
And I agree. And I think that's why he asked for his release now, because TNA does tape January 5th, I think. So this would work out great. They could have him be the big surprise. So it'll be interesting to see if they actually do that. But yeah. Oh, well. The other big news, Sami Zayn is advertised for the NXT UK tour. Aaron, are we going to see Sami Zayn?
I think that it's a good possibility. And if he's not there actually performing, he can be there in another capacity. He is, you know, fairly good on the mic. The crowd does connect with him. He does have that everyman persona. So I think that, you know, on the NXT UK tour, he's also, you know, kind of got that international flavor. He's Canadian, yet he's also Middle Eastern, and he's a ginger. So, I mean, you know, he is a hodgepodge of, you know, of that. So I will be very happy to see him there, assuming that he is. And I think that, you know, now is a good time to maybe, you know, if he's available, you know, have him perform a little bit, you know, have him do you know, a couple matches here or there, you know, don't overdo it, but, you know, have him maybe, you know, a match at this house show, a match at, you know, one after that.
Now, I think the really big news, you know, with this is that I don't want to get too much into it, but NXT is going to have their pay-per-view on the 16th of December at 2:00. Doug, are you actually excited that you may see Sami Zayn in the afternoon opposed to the evening?
I'm just going to be excited to see Sami Zayn back. He is a, like Aaron was saying, he's a very international character. He does bring a lot of excitement to the NXT crowd and everything like that. So to see him on this, to see him back and healthy would be great. Just hope that he stays that way and can actually do a full run in NXT and hopefully get moved up to the main roster somewhat soon.
Now, here's, I think, the big news is that you were at Survivor Series this week. And what were your thoughts on just the live atmosphere of being in Atlanta watching this pay-per-view?
Being in Atlanta, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to go, is just the fact that when you think of Atlanta, you're obviously going to think of WCW. But it was one of those things that I thought it was going to be a huge wrestling crowd. This is going to be fans who, you know, pay attention, who really know what are going on, are going to cheer for the wrestlers they like and not cheer for, you know, what WWE forces down our throats. So and you did get that there. They're not necessarily as loud, or I didn't find them as loud as a Chicago crowd or even the St. Louis crowd, I think, was a little bit more rowdier than they were. But overall, it was, you know, a great excitement. I was really hoping for a great show just for it being in Atlanta. You know, I still think that WWE has that chip on their shoulder against WCW. So I wanted them to go in there and have a great great event in WCW's backyard.
Now, you sat. Now, if anyone wants to see where you sat, can you tell us where you sat?
I sat right behind Michael Cole. I was in the third row, right behind the announcer's crew.
I was a little disappointed I didn't see a coal miner sign. I was a little disappointed about that.
They warned us before we were to be on TV, and this is why, if you do watch and it looks like I'm grumpy, it's because me and my buddy just decided the whole time we're going to be stone-faced and just stare straight either A, into the camera, or just stare straight, because the guy came up to us and told us that they would be that if we held up gang signs or, you know, hand gestures, like no hand gestures, no signs, no nothing. And it's like, oh wow, okay, we're gonna have to be serious. Let's get real serious then. Let's just stone faced.
We know how many gangs that you are affiliated with. So I mean, yes. I think it was smart for that guy to come up to you and request that you don't do
that.
I actually
had my boys on looking. I wanted to see which sign Doug was gonna throw up, so I was a little disappointed. Like, we had like a bet going. I lost money on you, Doug.
I'm sorry. I just wasn't going to pay that much money to get kicked out of the show that early.
So Doug, let's get into the meat of it. Roman, you witnessed two title changes in one night, which is something that I don't think I even witnessed one, you know. Roman Reigns wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, something that we pretty much all predicted. And we were very surprised, though. There was no ref bump. There was no heel turn. Before we get into the actual conversation about whether or not that was a good move, Doug, what was the crowd reaction to Roman Reigns winning the title? Was it a positive one? Was it mixed? Tell us a little bit about that.
I would say it was mixed. I mean, you could hear during the match the Roman Reigns sucks or let's go Roman. And it really, that kind of reminded me of the John Cena chants. It really is that yay, kitty, let's go Roman Reigns. And then you get to the grownups saying Roman Reigns sucks. So it was a very, very mixed match. There was a lot of reaction, and that was the good thing I think that WWE did right. There was reaction out of the crowd. Whether you're a Roman Reigns fan or you did not like Roman Reigns, a lot of the people around me were not necessarily for Roman. The one guy in front of me was very, very happy that Roman Reigns won, but I kept telling him to hold his horses and just wait, just wait, just wait. Because I was they did it very, very well. There was so much confetti that it really – I mean, you did not see Sheamus come into – at least from my angle, you did not see Sheamus even enter the ring until he actually bro-kicked Roman. So,
And what was the reaction to that? Was the crowd excited for a cash-in? Were they excited because it was Sheamus? Were they excited because Roman was going to lose the title? Tell us a little bit about that.
And this was my feelings more or less was I was very excited for the cash in. I was like, yeah, I get to see it. This is going to be awesome. Cause, and after Roman kicked out of the first bro kick, the realization, I think really went over the crowd. They might actually let Reigns hold on to the title. This could actually happen. They're going to have Reigns do it. Oh, here comes the spear. But then the second bro kick come. And like you said, there was a lot of disappointment or like or disgust, I guess. And then there was a lot of people that were happy, but then the realization set in, Sheamus is our champion. Sheamus is the champion. Like my attitude towards it was anybody but Roman. But then when you get to the Sheamus part, it's like, and next up anybody but Sheamus or Roman.
So great analysis there. Let's talk about the actual implications that happened. Andy, what are your thoughts of having Roman actually win the title?
Well, I want to talk about the match real quick. This match sucked. Let's just put it that way. This match sucked.
Which match are we talking about?
We're talking about the Roman Reigns Dean Ambrose match. It sucked. And it was like 9 minutes long. And after it was over with, I'm sitting there with my friend Dave, and I was like, oh, that's it. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go. I'm like, well, it's not over with yet. And then, of course, that happened. But him winning it, this is just Daniel Bryan, except that the crowd all wanted Daniel Bryan to win, and they're trying to do the same thing, except half the crowd wants Roman to win, and it's not the people who are paying the money. It's the older people who they're paying for their kids to go, or their wives, depending on which sign you see. And that was my thing. You can try to do this, but I think that it'll ultimately fail. So that's my thoughts on it.
So this, to me, to use your Daniel Bryan analogy, this would have been like John Cena beating Daniel Bryan for the title. Because Ambrose was pretty popular. I don't think people were booing him. One thing that I'm curious about is that we've seen Roman Reigns in big matches. I think he had a 20-minute match with Daniel Bryan at Fastlane. I think he had about a 25 to 30-minute match with Brock Lesnar. You know, pretty big, high-profile matches. I'm now supposed to believe that in what's basically the biggest match of his life since WrestleMania, after 9 minutes and one finisher kick out, he's so exhausted that Sheamus was able to take him out with basically two finishers. And it's not like his first match he wrestled even 15 minutes. It was very strange to me that they made it seem like he would be so exhausted when he had 2 hours to recover from a 15-minute match and only went 9 minutes. This was not a good tournament, in my opinion. This was a fine King of the Ring tournament. If Roman Reigns did the 2015 King of the Ring, this was an excellent job of showcasing four mid-carders, and you did a good job and fine, clean finishes and no turn. For a heavyweight tournament title, I mean, this was not Deadly Game. This was not the WrestleMania 4 tournament. This was bad, Aaron.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say it's necessarily as bad as probably you would say it is. Now, it didn't have any big names in there. You know, Randy Orton, John Cena, Brock Lesnar. You didn't have the people who were... I mean, he had his, you know, a few with Taker, but sure. You didn't have people in there who would make it feel bigger. It definitely was more of a mid-card term. I would agree with that. My biggest beef, I would say, is with the actual final match, which went on, like you said, it was a 9-minute match. And when it ended, it was a, wait, that was it? That was the finish? Like, that is how you're ending this match? Because I was expecting a second kick out. I was like, he was going to kick out, right? Like, oh, wait, this is going to be part of your history now. You're going to have a 9-minute match and you barely win, or you win the title like that? Like, what? There was no ref bump. There was no tomfoolery. There was nothing that I think would have made it better. And I'm not saying that it should have been really crazy and then have Sheamus come out and cash it, or like they should have done the predictable thing, turn Roman heel. But if you would have made it more memorable, because that match to me was not a memorable match. And I think it had every ability to become one. And that was my beef with it. I think that it did not deliver for me, you know, as a fan watching it, you know, from, you know, comfort of a couch. But I don't know. I mean, Doug, what were your thoughts? I mean, obviously, you were there live, so you have a lot more energy that's there, you know. So was the crowd really into it? Were you really into this match?
The two setup matches, the semifinal matches, I actually thought were a lot better than the final match itself. Yeah, they were not necessarily the longest of matches, but the 15 minutes, I expected that for that match. And they did a wonderful job for the 15 minutes that they did. The Kevin Owens match was really, really good, and a lot of back and forth on that one. When you got to this one, it was I mean, the finisher was a two-step spear. And I was telling everybody around, they're like, oh, that was a spear. I was like, no, that's a double leg takedown. That's – and then you got a pin out of it. And it's like, this is worthless. Like, I would expect – I wanted to see a little bit more. I did expect and I did predict that Sheamus would cash in and that Sheamus would walk out with the title. So I was expecting that. I wanted to see a little bit more. The spear on Triple H was something I kind of didn't see coming. But it was too drawn out. It was too much time. Like, I would have rather seen the match go on for another 6 minutes than watch 2 minutes of Triple H with his hand out and Roman Reigns just looking at him like he's an idiot. Like, no one, you know, if they would have done the heel turn, it would have been great. Just that little bit more. I would have loved to seen the heel turn, like the shaking of the hand and like, yeah, you know what? Let's do this. And Sheamus still do the cash in. But I don't know. The last match was absolutely horrible, especially when I was expecting more out of it. This is a feud that I think could continue, of an Ambrose and a Reigns, and when they just kind of half hugged it out, and all of a sudden I watched as Ambrose went out the side. Actually, he went out by the timekeeper. He didn't go up the ramp again. So it's like, okay, something is happening, and I could see the cameraman on the ramp waiting. So I knew I needed to wait and that we weren't going to leave, but it was just one of those things that I needed a little bit more out of that match.
Now, Andy, let's talk about the Reigns spear on Triple H. You know, it sounded like the crowd was really into it. Do you think that this would lead to a potential WrestleMania match for Roman Reigns and Triple H?
That's exactly what they're going to do, but it's going to be – they're pretty much going to do the same thing they do with Daniel Bryan. Somehow – Roman Reigns is going to say, my Roman Empire wants me to be in the main event at WrestleMania, and I'm not, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to do the same Daniel Bryan crap.
I don't think they'll do that.
No, the crowd didn't want to see Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. The crowd wanted to see Daniel Bryan with the title, and it just so happened that Triple H needed a match, so that's why he had Daniel Bryan. The crowd is not going to be – I don't think that the crowd would be this. But I do think that, yeah, I mean, we might see this at WrestleMania 32. So You think the same?
I don't think we'll see this, and here's the reason why. Triple H is supposed to be the biggest heel in the company. Mm-hmm. You put Triple H against Roman Reigns, there is a very big chance Triple H gets cheered out of the building. I mean, we do remember WrestleMania 22, where John Cena was booed out of Chicago. What is to stop that 100,000 people in Dallas going, I'm just going to cheer for Triple H because I'm so tired of Reigns that I want to see Hunter bury him? No, even if we know the outcome, I don't see there's much money in that match yet. I think that match happens at SummerSlam or maybe the following WrestleMania, but this is supposed to be Roman's redemption to the title. He just got screwed out of the title. He's probably going to be in the title match at Mania. I actually think he'll win the title before Mania, but I think he'll be in the title match.
What if Roman Reigns turns heel, Roger? What do you think about what if they was to do that at WrestleMania? Do you think that's a smart move?
So it's a face versus face match and he turns heel?
Correct.
Who does he turn heel on?
We'll say that. Let's say he's facing Sheamus. We'll just say Sheamus the champion. He's facing Sheamus, but then in order to, I don't know. I guess that's not a good example.
He can't turn heel on a heel.
That's true.
And so here's the problem. The only person he can maybe do this on is Brock Lesnar, which is what I think will end up happening. I think he's going to win the title at Fastlane. I think Brock's going to win the Rumble because I think you're going to do Reigns Lesnar too. I don't believe you do Sheamus Reigns at the Mania main event. That is a terrible main event for WrestleMania, in my opinion. That's not a money match. The problem right now is I don't see where Reigns goes from this. He's going to have his rematch at TLC, and he's going to probably have to win the Rumble, or Brock's going to have to win the Rumble. Other than those two, I don't even see a third alternative.
Oh, you know what? You just said something that I could potentially see happening, which is Reigns, Lesnar, the final two at Royal Rumble. And then Lesnar wins, of course. But Reigns, for whatever reason, gets a title match, let's say at Fastlane, mm-hmm. wins the title. And then it's going to be like, oh, they were the final two at the Rumble. Now they're going to be the final two. You know,
that's what I think happens.
So, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. And you know what? When we go to, when we get closer to WrestleMania, obviously we'll be discussing some potential matches going forward. So the other big thing that happened was we had Undertaker and Kane take on the Wyatts. Doug, what was the crowd reaction for this?
Everybody was excited for this one. I mean, you could hear the chants for We Want Taker. The entrance was, it was kind of amazing. The fire was so hot. I mean, it was amazing that, I mean, even from where I was sitting, it was just, oh wow, it was great. But it almost seemed like the swan song match for Taker. As much as I'm like thinking, okay, who's Taker in a face off at WrestleMania, it really felt like this is it. This was the last match of Taker. Just the whole experience of it, the montage beforehand, the bringing out and the pictures of the 25 years of him going across the fire and everything. You saw all the key parts of the match. I mean, it was this was a very face pay-per-view. All the faces won. Every Survivor Series match, face won. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the face winning every match, but it really seemed like every face was winning, and it, especially when it came to Taker, all you saw was his, you saw old school, you saw the tombstone, you saw everything that you saw for 25 years of Taker, but it was still magical because it was Taker. If this was his final match, I would be happy with it. It's a good feud. He got to go out with Kane, somebody that, could assist him in the match itself. But the whole time, it seemed like it was just, this is Taker's show, and Taker, you call it, you do everything you want, and let's go home.
So, Doug, let me ask you something. Do you think that with WrestleMania being in Texas, and obviously Undertaker's from Texas, it's possible he could be a Hall of Fame inductee in the main event? You don't think they'll give him the Ric Flair treatment this year and let him go out on his swan song at Mania?
I was kind of hoping he would, but, I mean, it was just something that I still want to see Taker at WrestleMania. I do. I want to see one more match with Taker. I want to see him go out, not necessarily like Ric Flair did with the retirement match against HBK. I don't want to see him go out like HBK did with kind of the retirement match with Taker. I don't need to see a retirement match I would love to see Taker at WrestleMania, because that's I think he's going to be more remembered for WrestleMania than he is ever Survivor Series. But
certainly.
But this was just something that is like, maybe Taker does have that retirement match at WrestleMania, or the, you know, this really seemed more like the Taker, you do what you want, do your classics. This is everything Taker. This is positive Taker. You know, this is your high note, and maybe you step back a little bit on WrestleMania because you have a retirement match or something that you end up losing, which I don't want to see, because I don't want to see Taker lose at WrestleMania ever again. He's already lost once. There's no point in him losing ever again at WrestleMania.
So, Andy, let me ask you a question, because me and Aaron have talked about this. If you're booking Undertaker's last match, who is it against?
Oh, wow. that's a great question. Right now, my gut feeling would be Kane. Reason why is because Undertaker said it multiple times he wanted Kane to break the streak. But if I wanted to see something where we're sitting in the stands and we're going nuts, I think I'd have to go with Lesnar. I'd want to see him and Lesnar go at it again. I know it wouldn't be the same match. I mean, there's no way you could do that physical match, but I'd almost have to. I'd almost have to say that it's a toss-up, but I think I'd lean more towards Lesnar. I would like to see Sting and Taker, but I don't think that should be Undertaker's final match. I think that if he said that, hey, I have two more matches left in me, I say right off the bat, we have to do Taker Sting, and then we can do Taker Lesnar or Kane. So, but that's
Aaron, I'm going to ask you the same question. Taker's final match, who are you booking?
First one that came to mind was Kane, for sure. You know, just because of the fact that, you know, they have such a storied rivalry, and, you know, it's a good way to put Kane over. However, though, the only downside is Kane's not going to be wrestling that much longer. So, I mean, it's Undertaker would have to get that win. If you're going to have somebody get a win over Taker, Bray Wyatt would have been a good choice, you know, for last year. Even, you know, there's always the talk about Finn Balor, you know, to really put him over if he is going to be the face of the company. You know, that'd be he might get booed from that, though. That's the only downside. But Andy, I know that we had discussed this before about the Hall of Fame. You know, of course, all four of us are going to WrestleMania together. And we were talking about, well, you know, the Hall of Fame, it's 4 hours of people talking. Are we really going to be that excited for it? Maybe we just sell our tickets. But Taker's the headliner that year. Do we go?
No.
Andy, you're no. Doug is yes.
I'm still saying let's
get some. Are you asking me if I'm going to go to the Undertaker's final public appearance potentially? There's not even a discussion about that. Of course I'm going to go see the Undertaker at the Hall of Fame. Like, he's gone. For one, I think he's, and I'm going to say this, I think as a dream match, there's only one match, and it has to be Sting. And I think we get Taker Sting at WrestleMania. I think that's the last match he needs to do. And yes, I'm absolutely going to see him at the Hall of Fame. Like, we're not going to go to the Hall of Fame very much in our lives. If Undertaker's there, I'm there. Hands down.
Yeah, I mean, if his final match is Sting, to be honest, what I would do, I would book it as both of their final matches. Because if you say, oh, Undertaker, if you lose, you have to retire. The downside is then there's not, like, what's at stake then for Sting? You know, it's kind of like with HBK Taker. What was really at stake for HBK winning? You know, Taker does lose the streak, I get that, but there wasn't as much there. And that's why I've never been a big fan of retirement matches for the most part. And people never stay retired anyway, except for HBK. I think he's the only one that has.
He is the only one that actually stay retired.
Yeah, like everyone else, you know, like, you know, Flair and Savage and, you know, Hogan, like everyone, like they all end up wrestling. Obviously, Terry Funk, the most famous one.
but he's on like a 16th
I would have
match.
This be if it was, you know, if he does facing both of them, say it is our final match. It's the dream match. It's not going to be that good. I know, but
obviously,
you know,
couldn't it be way. Like Rock Hogan, where it's just a moment. Like Rock Hogan was not a technical masterpiece, but it was amazing just for that crowd, to see The Rock and Hulk Hogan, who, despite his recent revelations, is still Hulk Hogan and was like the guy that everyone loved as a kid. To see The Undertaker, a stalwart of WWF, and Sting, a stalwart of WCW, in the same ring fighting each other is like, that's one of the five dream matches we probably all dreamed about as kids. Yeah. And it could happen.
Do you put them both in the Hall of Fame this year then?
No, because they're both headliners, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. They're both headliners. If you had it,
and Taker deserves to be the headliner. There should be no other real big headliner name.
Yeah. I would say, you know, if you do Taker this year, for example, because it's in Texas, you know, whenever I think Sting, he's been billed from California, and I think that's where it's from. So you do one in California or Atlanta, obviously, for WCW, then I would put Sting in.
And plus, they're almost out of people worth putting in the Hall of Fame, so you really can't be throwing his head out. Everyone's in, right? I mean, what if you take out Undertaker and Sting, how many big names do we have left to put in the Hall of Fame?
Owen really Hart, you know, it's the only one I can.
He's not. I respect Owen. His thing was a tragedy, but if he doesn't die the way he dies, we're not even having a discussion about him being a main eventer as far as a Hall of Fame.
He would be a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer, but he's not a headliner.
No, not a headliner. No. Yeah,
I mean, he would be a headliner now because we'd be shocked to see him there, but he really is not like a headliner just because of Owen Hart's career. He's a headliner because it was a tragedy and it was awful and we never thought we'd see it. So really, do we have any main event headliners left?
Main event headliners left? Rock, Sting, Taker.
Well, now we're pushing into John Cena territory, realistically. Yeah, Triple H.
Triple H.
Vince McMahon.
Yeah, because Vince isn't in his own Hall of Fame, so yeah.
Not yet.
I don't think he wants. I think he doesn't like the pomp and circumstance of it for him. No. But anyway, Doug, anything else about the show? Anything like any special moments that you saw that maybe we didn't get to experience on TV or anything along those lines?
Not so much. At least for the Survivor Series overall, I thought it was a very good pay-per-view. You know, there was a couple things that I didn't think. I don't think you need Ziggler and Breeze in there in that pay-per-view. I would have cut that time out to have a longer main event. But the the women's match was actually really, really good. I was very amazed by that. A lot of people stayed in it. You did notice a couple people we kind of went and got their popcorn at that time, but more people went and got their popcorn at the Ziggler Breeze match. So, but overall, I thought it was a very good pay per view. I would have loved to seen a little bit more of a twist at the end, but overall, I thought it was very satisfying and. You know, I was excited to go to Raw the next night to see where they would take it from there.
Now, on for Survivor Series, scale 1 to 10, what do you got?
Probably a 7. Like I said, it could have gone a little bit higher for me if they would have done a heel change and the I think a heel change in general would have made the night a little bit better than just the cash in.
I would agree with that too. I would probably say 5 to 6, you know. I was excited to see the show and I thought it was okay. I think it's because we had such good food. We had barbecue, which you know really helps out. In all seriousness, I would say probably a 6. You know, Owens and Ambrose's match I think was really good. Had all the right beats. And then, you know, even the Tyler Breeze match, you know, it wasn't like fantastic by any means, but, you know, it was pretty passable. You know, the Taker moment, obviously it not a great match. It was the moment. So I would say 6. I would say 6 for me.
Andy, what about your ratings?
You know, I would have to give it a 6.5. I can't give it a 7. I can't give it a 6. It has to be right there. So that's what my thought is. And it was more because this could have been a 7, even almost an 8, if that last match didn't stink. That is what really bothers me. But that's why I have to put it to right in between a 6 and a 7. Your thoughts, Roger?
I think I'm probably the lowest on the scale because I expected more out of this. I expected we were going to get something memorable, whereas this, to me, is very forgettable. It was much as, and granted, we weren't there live. And then for Doug, seeing your first title change, I'm sure that was a really big moment and cool experience. But and from second. Someone sitting at home, it was kind of like that, kind of like the way the final match ended. That's it. That's the way it is. I mean, I'd give this a 5, and I'd say it was a forgettable episode of Raw with a couple cool moments. I thought Undertaker Kane was a really cool moment. I think seeing the title change was a cool moment. A couple matches were really good, but. It should have been better. I just think for what they had and what they were trying to build to for the Rumble and Mania, this should have been something to get us going all the way through WrestleMania season instead of this just being blah. Like that's a disappointment is the way I describe it.
All right. So Doug, I want to point something out. All of Faces 1, you saw 2 title changes and you got to see potentially Undertaker's last match. So that's pretty sweet, dude. I'm glad. It sounds like you had a great time, and of course you saw Raw the following night in Nashville, so that sounded like it was pretty cool too.
Yeah, was there anything specific about Raw? Obviously, the pay-per-view was the big thing, you know, which is why we're talking more about that. But was there anything at Raw that you saw that was really noteworthy that maybe people would, be interested to know? Like, was Reigns, like, heavily over there? Was he mixed, you know?
Yeah, there was no mix whatsoever for Reigns. It was a pro Reigns site. So if WWE ever wanted to do a match where Reigns is going to win the title and everybody's going to cheer for him, you know, maybe Nashville's your spot. You know, you're going to have to pick your spot. I believe Reigns is he from Florida?
Pensacola, Florida, I think is where they built from.
So I was going to say, maybe that's another spot that you can do it too, but you're only going to have a few spots, I think, that you can do that. And Nashville is definitely, everybody was cheering for Reigns. There was absolutely, I mean, I got strange looks the one time I cheered against him. Like, I had to stop doing it. I didn't sit very close for I had decent seats for Raw. But everybody around me was like wearing the Reigns shirt and everything like that. And it's like, all I said was boo one time and I got strange looks. So,
and then you let them know I said boo Reigns, boo Reigns. That's his
name,
right?
Wow.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Christian approved.
I said I was rooting for Boo Dallas. I wanted Boo Dallas to come out. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, it sounds like a great time, dude. That's awesome. Thanks for, of course, talking about it. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Roger Cave, Doug Hahn, and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.